Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning chapel. Just have a few announcements to make. At the bottom of the page, you will see a little advertisement for a series that we have on campus about every month called In Depth. We try to, sometimes one of our professors or a guest speaker will come and speak a little more in depth on matters that deal with spiritual aspects of life. And tonight, our own Dr. Jonathan Stadler will be speaking on the subject, what does it mean to be human? So if you've ever wondered, if you are one, I'd encourage you to come. So that's tonight at 7 o'clock. That will be in Meyer Hall 101. Following that, at about 8:30 here in the chapel, I've had a number of students that would like to get together to discuss some of the challenges and difficulties that Christians have been facing in the past couple weeks, some of the tragedies that have taken place and the impact that's had on them. So that will be a discussion group tonight here at 8:30 in the chapel, and you're all welcome to come to that as well. God's blessings on our worship. Our scripture reading for today are the words of Jesus himself, taken from John chapter 15, beginning with verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Just days ago, a 50-year-old zookeeper over in Bangkok, Thailand, who was working in a kind of a wildlife sanctuary and a zoo, was suddenly attacked by three lions and mauled to death. And he had just gotten out of a vehicle bringing them food and bringing them some other supplies. And he had worked there for many years, had dedicated his life to taking care of these creatures. And suddenly, the very object of his care had turned on him and ended his life. That very same day, a young man who had made it his life work, according to his statements, was to bring the light of Christ to college campuses, was gunned down by one of the very people that he hoped to help. He was assassinated in front of his wife and children. And the whole world can watch the video. Lord, have mercy. Consider our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that he came into this world to do for us and to bring us, the forgiveness of all of our sins and wickedness before God, to create a perfect holy record before God that we could possess and have by faith so we would be led into heaven someday, to give us the resurrection of our bodies out of our graves so they would be glorified and we would get to go and live forever in the bliss of heaven. Think of all that our Lord Jesus came into this world to do for us and everybody in the world. And how does the world treat him? Jesus says, keep in mind that it hated me first. The text in front of us, he is letting us know that the same hatred that has fallen on him will also fall on the members of his church, those who love him, those who trust in him, those who are depending on him to finally see that heavenly home. We will receive the same hatred and persecution, the antagonism of this evil, wicked world, just sometimes for standing up for the basic, simple truths that are even expressed in nature itself. St. Paul and Barnabas at one time were in the cities of Lystra and Derbe preaching to the crowd and preaching to them about the Savior and how God has sent the Savior into the world as an act of his great love for all people. It says, we are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things, these idols, to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. And the response, Luke records, they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. So as followers of Christ, what makes you so different from this world? We struggle with the same sins that they do. Trust me, go around the room and ask us what we struggle with. It's the same sins that the world struggles with. We have to deal with the same heartaches that this fallen world has to deal with. We have to face the same reality of death that's out in front of us, that's out in front of them. So what is it that makes you as a Christian so different? What is the great threat that you and I pose to this wicked, nasty, unbelieving world? Well, here it is. Jesus says, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You do not belong to this world. By God's grace, working faith in our hearts, you and I are heavenly citizens. And it has nothing to do with how great we are or something we did. Jesus says, I chose you out of the world. It's an election that God himself has worked it out in your life, maybe through your parents and through his word and sacrament of baptism. He chose you out of this wicked world. So you now belong to God. You belong to heaven, and you have a citizenship there. And Jesus warns us when he gives us the signs of the end of time. This is what he says as we get closer to that. You will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. He identifies a ratcheting up of evil and antagonism against his church and those who proclaim his truth. About 70-some years ago, there was a pastor that held the position of chaplain here on campus named Dr. Norman A. Madsen. And in the 1950s, they published some of his sermons from our chapel. And in one of them, it's very interesting, he speaks about how the world of his day was raging against this Christian faith. And he makes this bold statement, "We are going back to the catacombs," meaning how the church had to hide in Rome and so on. Imagine if Dr. Madsen was here today, 70 years later, to see what has taken place in our culture in those last 70 years. Our Lord is so right when he says that there will be an increase of wickedness. You, as college students, are part of what they call the first generation of post-Christians, post-Christian generation, which means Christianity is no longer kind of the foundational thinking in the culture that is around us. And unlike your parents' generation and certainly your grandparents' generation, this puts you in a much more difficult spot. The great irony is that this world hears from Christians a message of hate, and yet it could not be more of a message of love. It's a message of salvation. It's a message of hope. About 20 years ago, when I first started here as chaplain, there was a group known as Soul Force that came to our campus, and there were about 80 or 90 protesters. They showed up on two big Greyhound buses right off our campus, and they lined the edge of our campus with picket signs, and they were protesting the fact that our campus and college were still trying to stand with the Word of God, and they did not like that on various issues. And so in our preparation for the event, we educated our students and why they were coming here and talked to them. And we even prepared things to help them. We had a porta potty set up out there. We had bottles of cold water for them since it might have been a warm day. And near the end of the protest, what was interesting is many of our Christian students went out to meet them and to just huddle into a big circle and talk to them. And the biggest question that they got was, "Why do you hate us? Why do you hate us?" And our students properly said, "We don't hate you. We do not hate you." St. Paul says to those of us who trust in Christ, the love of Christ compels us to witness to him and to speak to others the truth that God has to say. He goes on to say, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. And that's the issue with us as believers in Christ. When we look at our fellow human beings who are following paths of darkness and things that will end up in destruction eternally, we don't want that for them. We want love, the love of Christ that has come to us through the gospel. This is what the church is all about. This is the message of the church. This is the central truth that the church needs to testify in this world. Without it, there's nothing but destruction. And so the love of Christ compels us, and we are not to regard people from a worldly point of view, the way the world wants us to think, because that will never ultimately help them. Sad to say, for many people, it will only be understood as love on Judgment Day, when it's too late. And though the church may shrink and tremble in fear at times, maybe we are right now, those who still love Christ and his word, God, through events like we've had recently, can embolden us and make us even more resolute and determined to hold on to his truth. One of the great benefits that comes from persecution is the Holy Spirit can use it to intensify our dedication to Christ. Because suddenly, there's no middle ground. You're either in or you're out. I remember years ago, probably 10 years ago or so, we had a Wisconsin Synod Lutheran missionary here from Indonesia where people were being killed for their Christian faith. And their church had been burned to the ground 6 times. And they kept having to decide whether they would put a cross on their new church when they would rebuild it. And they always did. But he made this statement that always stayed with me. He said, "During persecution, there are no lukewarm Christians." There are no lukewarm Christians. Even though we may at times feel small and tempted to shrink away in fear or maybe even cave in, Remember, as the old saying goes, that one with God is always the majority. And we have this promise from the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings who has come to pay for your entrance into heaven. He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Please rise for prayer. This morning we have two prayer requests for two of our wonderful faculty members. Professor Ann Fredrickson, I believe right now, is undergoing surgery for endometrial cancer, and that will probably have to be followed by 6 months of chemotherapy and radiation. And also over the weekend, our Professor Peter Bladel was admitted to the hospital, and we found out this morning that they have determined he had a heart attack and has had a stent already put in today. So we'd like to keep both of them in our prayers. Our gracious Heavenly Father, through the merits of Christ, we come before you on behalf of your servant Ann Fredrickson. We are grateful for the benefits of today's technology, medicine, and highly skilled physicians that can bring relief and healing. According to your will, use these medical blessings to provide Ann with a safe and successful surgery. If it's your will, permit her cancer to be fully contained and treatable. Grant her a swift and safe recovery that she may again serve you and your church. Be with her husband and children through this trial. Give all of them confidence in your care, which you have displayed so deeply in the sacrifice of your son. We also bring our petitions for your child, Peter Bladel. Equip his doctors with the ability to properly diagnose the condition of his heart. According to your will, relieve his symptoms and provide him with medical care that will enable him to return to his duties. Comfort Pete, his wife Sarah, and his family with your promise that you will work all things for our eternal good. We commit them into your arms in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Go now in his peace. Amen.